News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, and radar pretty quiet this morning, which is good. So we have a rush hour without a lot of rain fouling things up, which it generally does on the interstates. So we're pretty much good to go this morning. Turning up your voice this hour if you want to talk with me and Dalton, 251-343-0106. And then, of course, it's also the text line where we've hit on a number of subjects this morning, including South Alabama season tickets, going back and forth with the gentleman who was contemplating buying those. Their first game is September the 3rd against Nicholls State. I think they've got a 4 o'clock kickoff. And I kept saying I was going to get my tickets, and I finally did on Friday, because right there at the Expo, which was awesome.
Yes.
South Alabama was not only set up there, you could buy tickets right there. So I got a pair of season tickets.
Southpaw was even there. Did you shake Southpaw's hand? The mascot?
Oh, yeah. Got a picture with Southpaw. Dan, get in there. You know, it wasn't my choice.
Yeah.
It wasn't my choice at all.
Of course not.
Because
you
I'm not
dragged in.
I'm not four. But anyway, good to see a lot of people out there at the Expo, and had a good time.
Yeah. And last week was a big week of news for Mobile, and even into the weekend, Friday afternoon. I don't know if you want to call it a news dump or not, but Mayor Stimson's budget release. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like when the not quite to the same level, but every year the president will put out his budget request, and they never get what's in the budget request because it has to make its way through Congress, right? And kind of the same thing here with the Stimson budget. It has to make it through city council. They'll make some changes, and then everyone will vote, and then everyone will be happy, right?
No,
that's not what happens.
that happens around October the 1st, I believe.
Yeah, and interesting to see where all the money is going. And you mentioned that it's 6.7% higher than the budget last year, and that doesn't— You think, oh, that's huge, but think of the inflation number, which they say is in the eights, but you have to think that inflation is much higher than that, so not keeping pace with inflation there on the budget. But that'll be dissected over the next few weeks. There's been a lot of talk about the scooter company, the newest scooter company, leaving downtown Mobile. Mm-hmm. Now, I never got on one down there. I mean, I've been on a scooter before. But what have there been three or four different companies? Maybe not four, but two or three.
One time it was bikes.
Bikes, yeah. That's right.
One time it was, the first thing was bikes, I believe. Now, I've never been on the scooter, but I've been whizzed by. I've been part of a whizzing by.
Yeah.
And like I said last week, you know, you could, I have no real opinion on the scooter since I never actually climbed up on one and rode around in them. I did have a problem with some of those who were operating the scooters.
Yes.
I just thought they were, you know, a little reckless. But they're gone now.
John Sharp did a deep dive on Bolt Mobility scooters, and he said financial difficulties is why they decided last week to abruptly leave the city, but he says that officials with Mobile hope another company will enter the market and bring more e-scooters or e-bicycles, possibly. Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson said, "It's unfortunate Bolt was unable to sustain its operations in Mobile, but we've seen there's definitely an interest in these kinds of services among Mobilians and our visitors. Several companies offer similar services, and I believe we're in good position to engage with a new provider about bringing something to Mobile that works for riders, pedestrians, and motorists downtown." So,
was this the same? We've had two things fail on their own in Mobile.
That's
the scooter, mm-hmm. Bolt Mobility, they were just crumbling from within, evidently, with their finances, and the football team.
The football team.
The
Bills. That's right. The Major League Football organization folded.
Yeah.
That was before that was like during the first week of training.
Week zero.
Exactly. So John talks about this, whether safety was an issue. John Sharp, writing at AL.com, he said police recorded few problems with the e-scooters since they became available for rental in late 2019. So it's been, what, 2.5 years they've been around? Mobile police cited 4 incidences over those times and no major injuries. 3 juveniles were involved in one incident in which a male was struck by a scooter while walking on a sidewalk. That might have been you.
I wasn't ever hit,
okay,
but I was whizzed by.
They said a person lost control of a scooter and struck a vehicle on Dolphin Street. A person fell off a scooter and sustained facial injuries. Young adults were spotted riding scooters inside the Arthur Outlaw Mobile Convention Center. Well, hey, there's not many better places to jump on a scooter than the convention center. So did they have so few safety issues because there were that few people actually, you know, getting on the scooters to begin with?
Now, I don't know, but I am really surprised that they say that there were only 4 incidents of anybody going down or being hurt or whatever. That surprises me.
And if none of these companies can hang on, right, and they're still interested in bringing this to Mobile, at what point, you know, do you say it's just not financially, because none of these companies can stay afloat long enough to be here longer than 3 years. They either, every single company that does this scooter thing has just the worst spending plan of any business of all time, and they just can't last, or there aren't enough people that want to get on the scooters or bikes to make it financially viable.
You know? I don't know which it is, and they seem to be pretty popular. Now, if I go downtown, well, I shouldn't say that, but and right now my Fridays are off limits because I'm doing high school football. But Friday evening is the night that I would go downtown. Mm-hmm. So on Friday evening, you've already got an increased number of people downtown. Often it's art walk too, you know. So you can have people down there, and so I would see scooters being used a lot. It didn't look like they were hurting. I don't know what the return on investment is, how all that works. Aren't they just tracked? You could leave that scooter anywhere.
You get an app, and that app has it's connected to like a transponder or something on the scooter itself. And then when you're done with it, you just settle up on the app. And many times people just leave it wherever it is. In John's article, someone from the Downtown Mobile Alliance, Carol Hunter, the spokesperson there, she said, I guess she used the scooters regularly or pretty frequently, and she thinks there were far more incidences than what was reported by police. So we may have a big old-fashioned scooter cover-up going down.
Boy, it happens every time. So, yeah, I wouldn't say cover-up necessarily, but I would definitely say there were maybe people just fell and didn't report it, you know, out of embarrassment. I mean, do you go running to the police every time that you do something dumb?
No.
So
they would ask me to lose their number if I did, because it's constant.
You'd be that 911 caller down in Florida.
Yeah.
12,000 calls.
So that's, I guess, the city is trying to find some replacement for Bolt Mobility, and I'll just put out there, you know, if none of these companies can stay afloat long enough to actually stay in the city, that maybe it really isn't worth keeping them around anyway. And then we talked a lot about the Civic Center last week and the 2 plans that were put out there by Populous Architects. Mm-hmm. You had the, what was it? One was the Move East plan or Shift East plan, and then forget the name of the other one. But basically, one would keep the theater and renovate it to the tune of $40 million, I believe. The other one would do away with that, make room for some other things. And I think the cheaper plan without the theater would be about $132 million, $168 or so for the plan to keep the theater.
I was struggling with those numbers when I was on Gulf Coast Today on NBC 15. I thought I had all the numbers down, and then I just was like, I was so befuddled by my own mathematics. But yeah, I think you're right. That sounds like a lot of money.
So
$40 million more one plan to the other.
And so many different, you know, gears have to move simultaneously. So it even looked like they were ready to move. You know, let's go ahead and pick the plan and move on with it. But then the news came later last week that the zoning board wasn't going to move because they had issues and they wanted to wait before rezoning that property, which is technically in the downtown entertainment district or whatever it's called, the DDD. And so what they didn't think about, or maybe they did and it just wasn't referenced early, is how rezoning the Civic Center and completely transforming that lot will will coincide with the new bridge and bayway that's coming in, and basically rerouting I-10 in order to send people off onto the new 215-foot tall bridge. Well, at the same time, they were talking about putting in different exits and entrance ramps onto I-10, and I guess one of those would come right down onto Claiborne Street that's, you know, right there east of the Civic Center. And one of the problems that's being discussed now is in that southern portion of the property where the parking lot currently is, where they would put the parking, the new parking garage.
And a six or four story building?
Yeah, six story Army Corps of Engineers building, that ramp would come right there, like right where they're trying to build this.
Yeah.
And how would all of that traffic work with the I-10 traffic? I can't remember if it's on, an on or exit ramp coming off Claiborne right there.
Yeah, I don't know. Right now, you can enter, you can get on the interstate right there at that corner that you're talking about on the south end of the parking lot where that construction's going to happen, and you can also get off to be in that area right at Canal.
Mm-hmm.
Canal gets you off there, so they're going to change all that?
That seems to be the plan once they start on all this I-10 work. So if you ever think something is simple, especially when you're dealing with government, you know, there's a lot more that'll go into this. So even all the timelines, you know, they were saying they wanted to get started at a certain point renovating the Civic Center.
Yeah.
But first they got to do this rezoning. They got to figure out where everything is going for the new I-10 plans and work around that.
Right hand, left hand. One's not sure what the other's even doing.
Yeah, and then you have the people that live right around that area who seem to be, at least at the very least, wanting to know what the plan is and what all might be coming to their neck of the woods.
Nice little neighborhood called Church Street East. It is 6:18 with Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Just when you thought things couldn't get any worse for the PGA Tour, you know, all their best players being plucked away with the promise of millions of dollars, right?
LIV Golf.
Yeah, the LIV Golf tournament. Now you've got the old remote control ball. I've never seen that. I've never seen a remote control ball in the first place. I've never seen one in the middle of a PGA tournament, which Rory McIlroy was on the green there, and some guy had a remote control golf ball.
Hmm.
Every time McIlroy would take a swing at it, it would move.
Hmm.
And then McIlroy...
It's
almost like a remote control car or truck.
But it wasn't the ball that McIlroy was trying to hit.
He had
his own ball.
He was just trying to swat it away.
Okay.
And then it was comical because he couldn't hit it because it would move.
He got Charlie Brown.
And he got Charlie Brown. Exactly. Finally, he picked it up and threw it into the pond that was in front of the green. Everybody cheered him on for that.
That was one angry Irishman right there.
Remote control ball on a PGA green.
I bet that guy got evicted
from
the tournament.
He did.
Looking at some of these texts regarding Trump's McDonald's order. What was it? A Big Mac, Filet-O-Fish, fries, and
large fries.
Vanilla milkshake.
Yeah.
Yeah, all of these former Trump administration people that put their books out there, they all have to include what his McDonald's order was, right? And that's what's on the new Kushner.
It's not like a chapter's devoted to it, but he just tossed it in there.
I thought the reason was interesting because he doesn't want to get poisoned. Mm-hmm. And if you just show up randomly at a McDonald's and they have the food already sitting in the bin, you order it, then voila, maybe you won't get poisoned. But Supermom says Trump actually gets two separate sandwiches for his one order. He really says, let's feast. I'd be as big as the side of a house. Don says, I have a suggestion for the mayor. Why not invest in the scooters through the Mobile Area Transit Authority? Pete says, the scooters are a nuisance. Surprised their reckless operation did not cause more injuries.
Me too.
You also have Dale. Actually, let me get to this other text first. Backstrap says, why are you so concerned about the scooters? The city, to my knowledge, didn't fund the scooter business. I'd be more concerned about the $3 million the city is discussing in funding the Topgolf business. Yeah, we discussed it. I wouldn't say that it's keeping me up at night, the Bolt Mobility leaving the city.
No, but it's a legit story.
I'm just saying, you know, if none of these companies can hang on, then what point are we going to call it and say, all right, that's game, you know, we don't the scooters are not a good enough business to keep around.
How many of those companies are out there? Because I don't, you know, I've got no idea. So, you know, I think another one's going to come calling here now that they see there's a void in a city the size of Mobile. That'd be my guess.
Backstrap. So when he mentioned there, I'd be more concerned about the $3 million the city is discussing in funding the Topgolf business. So yeah, you have $1.5 million from the county commission, $1.5 million from the city, and we should see some more movement on. It's not $3 million. So it's $1.25 million from the county, $1.25 million from the city, for a total of $2.5 million in tax breaks.
Right.
And we started this discussion last week about how many cities have done this tax incentive thing in order to bring Topgolf to their locations, and some have gone
way above
multi millions more than Mobile is discussing here.
One,
it was either El Paso or Albuquerque, and it wasn't Topgolf, but the company that licenses the Topgolf technology, they built their own out there. They got $14 million in tax breaks. At the same time, there were a lot of places.
Iowa got slammed.
What it was.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there are a lot of cities that aren't giving them any breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also work into the equation. Some cities didn't necessarily give tax incentives to Topgolf to come to town, but they made sure that the roads were fixed that were going in. Some of them needed sewage lines fixed. There were whatever infrastructure that was around where the Topgolf was going in. Some of the cities said, we'll take care of all this if you take care of construction and all this. And then even still, a lot of other cities said, we'll give you tax incentives if you meet certain hiring thresholds. Or for Birmingham, for instance, with their mayor Randall Woodfin, they were and are on this huge minority and women's push, and they said that 30% of construction in their Topgolf had to be done by minority or female owned businesses.
Mm-hmm.
I think they ended up using female or minority owned businesses for 3% or less of that construction, so they didn't meet the threshold, so Birmingham didn't end up paying out to them. Not sure what kind of rules have been set on the Topgolf money, if any, but they will be hiring people. We know that. They think maybe around 100 during some of the peak seasons.
I haven't been to one, so I have got no idea.
Is it like
Dave and Buster's on steroids?
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
Because so
a lot
food?
Of people compared to a that I've seen on the text line that maybe haven't been are comparing it to a bowling alley, and while both are fun things to go out and do, I wouldn't really compare the two, because bowling, I think it's fair to say, is kind of leaving. The kids aren't saying, let's go bowling on Friday night.
I got you.
Not all the kids are anyway.
No,
a bunch of kids with Topgolf in town are saying, let's go do this.
Yeah. And it's going to cost you a pretty penny too, right? So it's not something you can do all. Bowling, you could do two or three times a week if you wanted to. Topgolf, you've got to make that. That's almost an event, right?
You're
going to go with a bunch of friends and kind of mitigate some of the price because you're splitting it a bunch of ways?
Yeah, in many instances. And that's some people that are guessing. Like I had Dale, he texted earlier. He said, I suspect Topgolf will be open no more than 3 years. He doesn't think that Mobile has people that can spend that kind of money. I would argue, I think it'll be around longer than 3 years. It's just, it's a really fun time. And Jeff has said it plenty. Before you make your mind up about Topgolf, if you can make it out to one and then decide what you think. I think we got time to go to the phones here quickly at 251-343-0106. Who do we have here,
Joel,
on the phone?
What's going on?
Hey, Joel.
This is Joel.
Yeah. Hey, Joel. What's up, man?
Hey, man. I was just going to talk to you about the teacher shortage.
Yeah.
One thing, my opinion, teachers are so underpaid, it's not even funny to have to deal with the kids nowadays. I mean, teachers can't discipline them. They're always got their cell phones in the classrooms just waiting to video the teacher for doing something. The principals can't. I mean, when's the last time you even heard of a kid getting paddled?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so there's no remorse or nothing for the way they act. I mean, and then look out to all the teachers that have to put out of their own pocket supplies and stuff.
Yeah, Joe, we're up.
Teachers shouldn't even have to pull money out of their own pocket for classroom supplies and stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that. We're up against break, Joel. Thank you for that.
You look at the multi-million dollar payouts to some of these college administrators who aren't even around for more than 2 or 3 years, and you wonder if that money couldn't be spent a little better at some of this lower schooling.
Now, ex-military getting a break to get in the classroom.
That's right.
See that as well. 8:30.
Thank you, Kane. 8:35 on FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Coming to the phones and text line here in just a minute. 251-343-0106. Right now, it's time to talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. And things, I'm sure, going great out there at McConnell. You got a lot full of cars.
Oh, we do. Man, check them all out online, McConnellAutomotive.com. I mean, we got a truck for every driveway, I think, and SUV. We're sitting there looking at some couple of Broncos we got. We lifted a couple of them, put some aggressive tires on it. You know, it's right before hunting season, and we have, like I said, plenty of four-wheel drive trucks here. So check them all out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. Got everybody in the shop being cool today. Boy, that air conditioning is blowing. All those mechanics back there love it. So if you're looking for a job and a technician, come see us. Charles Prim, McConnell Automotive. Man, you work in style, work in air conditioning. It's a great deal back there.
Good stuff. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That is Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com. Looking at the text, says we've been talking scooters and Topgolf this half hour, and plenty more to get to, and you can call us, 251-343-0106. Dale says, 6.7% increase in Mobile budget versus 8-9% inflation. Is your pay going up by an amount greater than 6.7%? I would imagine most Mobilian salary increases are 4-5%. The city is now even more bloated than before, all on the backs of its residents. How much is the city spending on Azalea City Golf Course? $650,000. And they think Topgolf will make a profit in Mobile. Yeah, that's and maybe that's why it was released Friday afternoon at the time it was. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk often about Friday news dumps in the national and local media. That's generally, if you're unaware, if there's news that you really don't want people to stew on, or you don't want TV or radio to dwell on the next day, you would release it on a Friday afternoon because you got the big weekend ahead. Of course, a lot of radio and TV guys that work during the week won't be on that Saturday morning to discuss it. But with this budget, I mean, surprised maybe by how much some of the money, how much goes to some departments around the city.
I'm surprised by that, and I'm surprised by some of the increases, and I would like to know the reason why. Like the History Museum getting a whole lot more money than they had last year, 500,000 more, something like that?
Yeah, and why
is that decision, why was that decision made? Azalea City Golf, I used to live out that way.
$621,000 for Azalea City
so
Golf Course.
It takes that much money to operate the golf course? I'm sure the big equipment and all that, but to me, that sounds like a lot of money, but
there,
I'm sure it could be explained to me.
I used to golf out there all the time. Mm-hmm. Now with two young kids, I probably haven't golfed in 3 years, which is ridiculous, but are they doing a lot of work out there? I don't know if they've been renovating the course or what, but $621,000. And you also have the bowl games. That makes some sense, right? A half a mil for the Senior Bowl and Lending Tree Bowl. For sure, I would say the Senior Bowl, you get a pretty good ROI on that. I mean, it's on all of these NFL guys talk the whole week about how much they love Mobile. You have the NFL Network in Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
All eyes for the draft that are coming up are in Mobile at that time.
It looks great on TV at the new stadium, too.
The Lending Tree Bowl, when you have Toledo taking on Northern Michigan or whatever, Central Michigan, I'm not sure what the ROI on that is.
They usually have a Sun Belt team in there, so that can be a place that the fans will come out because it might not be as long a drive sometime. But you're right, because there are times when the team from the MAC actually might be closer to Mobile than the Sun Belt team.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could have a team on the East Coast nowhere close to Mobile.
But the pay raises for the city, I think, played a pretty big role in the increase in that budget also. But there's going to be a whole lot more talk about that going forward. Some more texts about Topgolf. Let's see here. Well, the Civic Center also. Gus says if Mobile wants to bring in the big rap performers, they've got to do something with the Civic Center. John says, I think the city should work on the problem of individuals begging for money and try to eliminate that from the city. This is part of the reason why people don't want to go downtown and utilize something such as scooters, because there are too many people that beg for money. He said, Fred Richardson, of all people, got an ordinance passed that would help eliminate the begging that goes on. However, it still goes on some, even though the ordinance has helped. And, you know, Ben Reynolds kind of in a kind of similar way, not really, was trying to get a hold of the situation with a lot of homeless camping on properties near other residential areas. Mm-hmm. He tried to do an anti-camping ordinance to keep them out of public right-of-ways, and that didn't really go anywhere. It has gone somewhere in like Tennessee and some other states have passed basically the exact same thing. Some cities we're seeing, and we can learn from a lot of these cities and states, are taking this incredibly seriously now. Well, it's ruining their tourism.
It is. It's ruining the experience of going to a downtown. I hear that the problem is pretty bad in Nashville, or have they addressed it? But it's way more. Last time I was in downtown Nashville, it was probably maybe 8 or 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if it was job related or fun related, but the homeless problem was evident, but it wasn't overwhelming. But since then, you tell me it's gotten worse.
It's bad. It's really bad. Yeah, I go to Nashville at least once or twice a year.
You've seen the increase.
Used to go more often. Yeah, I mean, the last time I was there, it was cold, and around the pedestrian bridge and on the pedestrian bridge. First off, 2 years ago, we were walking across the pedestrian bridge
over the river,
over the Cumberland, and I think there was like a mass overdose, because my dad and I were walking across that morning, and at the time we were walking, it was probably 9:30, 10 a.m., and there were a lot of homeless in sleeping bags that were still sleeping, and sleeping very...
That was on the bridge.
Yeah, and there were police showing up, so they may have been a little more than sleeping.
Yeah.
It was a rough situation, but it's been like that very often. And under the bridge is really bad, too, because it's right there next to Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And you could almost see, especially from some of the rooftop bars, just dozens underneath the bridge. And then they're around. It's bad, especially there on Broadway and around downtown Nashville.
I'll bet you that's a brisk little walk, too, over the river in the wintertime.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you don't know downtown Nashville, you've got to cross a bridge. You've got to cross the river to get the stadium. Isn't really downtown. It's on the other side of the river, mm-hmm. which I would
right next to Topgolf.
Really?
Yeah.
So the stadium, you can see it from downtown, but you got to cross the river. And if you do it on foot, you've got a walking bridge. I guess it takes you directly to the stadium? Just
yeah. Okay. Yeah, it dumps you out right there next to the stadium and 65. And so I will say Mobile has been making some moves anyway with the homeless problem. I've always said that giving them, finding a way to get them to work, homeless people,
mm-hmm.
in order to receive money is much better than just passing out money and trying to get them fixed without giving them something to do. And what Ransom Ministries has been able to do, and then tying that into the city. Now, they're very early on in this, but basically paying homeless to pick up litter. I mean, two problems that are hopefully being fixed at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a pretty successful first month, even though the rain has kind of kept them out. They've only, as of last week, had been able to get out 8 days, but they picked up a ton of litter.
Really?
And then you also have this nonprofit.
I didn't know that was successful.
Yeah, and you also have this nonprofit that we haven't really delved into, but they're trying to build little homeless neighborhoods, I guess, almost like little sheds. And I don't think the city is putting any money into it, but I'm sure they'll get involved. That kind of, if they do that, will at least keep them out of your backyard, mm-hmm. would be the hope that they'd be staying in some of these little places. So they're working on some stuff, whether it's far enough, we've yet to see.
But so, I like the steps being taken. We've got Susie on the line. She wants to talk about Nashville. Hey, Susie.
You there, Susie?
We lost her.
You upset her. I don't know what you said. I
wanted to talk about the homeless in Nashville. I guess she was aware of that.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad problem. Dink, talking about Topgolf, he said it will have a lot of tourists stopping by. That's why it's close to an interstate. Yeah, don't forget that. And who knows? I don't know if you can put an estimate on how many people will be willing to pull off 65 to go to Topgolf on their way to the beach or Florida, but there would at least be some. I don't know. Every Topgolf I've seen, and Jeff has gone on about this too, they stay pretty busy. They haven't had a problem getting people in to these Topgolfs. And I don't think it's the biggest bet that Mobile's made. I mean, look at the Golf Quest. Look at how much money was dumped into Ladd and into Hank Aaron Stadium. $3 million over a certain amount of years of tax incentives. I don't think it's the biggest bet they've made, so not exactly the riskiest. But, I mean, I'm right there with you. A lot of our listeners, they say, don't use our tax money on any more of that stuff. Let's use the tax money for things that make the city better, I guess, or, you know, let us keep our taxes. Sly Dog says Topgolf is going to be successful here. It's not only going to draw from the Mobile area, but also from Baldwin County and South Mississippi. There's a pretty substantial golf culture in this area that's going to drive their business on a routine basis, as well as the young people and entertainment value. It's in a pretty decent spot. I will say this. I think security, just like as they're discussing going back into Ladd, security is the top thing here, because if they open Topgolf and there's a shooting in the parking lot every other week, or people's cars are being ransacked, or it's just unpleasant to drive in because of whatever may be going on inside or outside of McGowan Park, that'll keep people away from Topgolf. If you're able to go and it's pleasant, you don't have to deal with any grifters as you're walking in. You don't have to worry about, you know, carrying your piece. Well, a lot of you will still carry it, but you don't have to worry about using whatever you're carrying out there. Then people will want to go and keep going, especially if their first time going out there is a fun and good time. But if they let that go on and you have to worry about teenagers shooting each other and you getting caught in the crossfire, then yeah, it's going to be a complete and massive failure there at McGowan Park.
Susie's back with us on the line. Hey, Susie. Hey.
I just wanted to circle back to the Nashville conversation.
Please. Sure.
We go to Nashville once every month or two, and they have actually made it a felony for the homeless to live in the city limits.
Hmm.
So the parks are actually super beautiful and safe these days.
Good.
In contrast, I think New Orleans has gotten really out of hand, and I would prefer to go to Nashville any day of the week over New Orleans.
So they have done something about the problem.
Well, that's the anti-camping ordinance.
Okay.
Yeah, and I haven't been up there since they established that, but you're saying they're making pretty good headway with that?
It is dramatically different.
Hmm. And that just changes the whole experience. I mean, yeah, you know, we talk about the homeless problem, and we can drill down and talk about the homeless itself, not the inconvenience that they are, but the people that they are, and how can we help them? But if you have ruined the experience of an entire downtown area by not addressing a problem, that is a big problem, and that is revenue, and that is just the experience of the city itself, and what people are going to take away from that when they leave Nashville, and they say, well, did we have a good time or not? So thank you for the call, Susie, and I think cities have got to get ahead of all this.
And you know, the pushback, they always say, oh, why are you doing that to the homeless? Well, how is letting some of the drug-addicted and alcohol-addicted homeless, many times veterans, how is letting them continue with that life where they might just wind up, you know, dead out there? How is that good for anyone, especially when it's hurting property value and the value of a city's tourism industry? Mm-hmm. You know, making them move might actually change their lives for the better in many cases.
849, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Dennis Rodman to the rescue. That's on the way. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Real quick, I just want to let everybody know that everything's going to be fine. Dennis Rodman, the NBA legend.
Ah, the Worm.
Legend for a lot of reasons, right? He said Saturday he's gotten permission from who? To go to Russia to seek the release of WNBA star Brittany Griner. She was sentenced to 9 years in prison on drug charges. The Basketball Hall of Famer, who was at a sneaker convention in Washington, D.C. just kind of brought this up willy-nilly. Oh, by the way, but if y'all know about that grinder, I'm going to Russia. I've been given permission. By who? I've been given he's talking like a third grader.
Yeah. But Phil Jackson gave him permission.
Anyway, I didn't know that Dennis Rodman was in the Basketball Hall of Fame. I knew that he was nominated for the Irrational Behavior Hall of Fame. I don't think he got in there.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that he was...
Irrational.
I didn't... Yeah, the Irrational Behavior Hall of Fame. I didn't know he was actually good enough to be in the NBA or the Basketball Hall of Fame.
He was dang good, that's for sure. Is he a pronouns person? Does anyone know?
No.
Has Rodman gone that route? Because, you know, he was cross-dressing for a while there.
I haven't heard that he's crossed that bridge yet.
I hereby nominate Dennis Rodman, president of the pronouns people.
Well, he's off to get Brittany Griner because somebody gave him permission. So that's wonderful news.
Lots of texts we have here. Curtis says, Top Golf would be better suited in a place like Foley, close to Owa. You will have Mobile people traveling over, as well as all the tourists staying at the beach. Greg says, what's the price point of Top Golf? I've never been. Well, it's about, I think if you rent a bay for an hour, they said it's $50 an hour. But that's just the beginning, my friend, because if you get alcohol or if you get drinks and food, it'll quickly add up. Actually, someone else texted about that, too. Don said, I can tell you, if you have dinner and just soft drinks, you can expect to spend $150 to $200.
Wow.
The price gets up there. But, hey, if it's a once a month or once every other month or once every half year thing and enough people do it, then it'll stick around for
sure. I can see the billboards on 10 and 65 already. It's like Topgolf here, Topgolf this, you know, next exit, whatever. Just catching people that are rolling through town.
I've said it before. Whenever I go on a vacation, we check. If they have a Topgolf, then we try to work it into the schedule. Hmm. And that's, you know, once every year, or maybe twice a year,
that's
max.
That's Izzy that's driving idea.
She has completely ended my golf career. So no Topgolf, none of that until they're a little bit bigger. New Orleans and Mardi Gras. Ever since this mayor of New Orleans, LaToya Cantrell, you know, we were talking about New Orleans homeless problem with Susie there on the line.
She said she'd rather go to Nashville.
She has been using Mardi Gras is like leverage against her people since she took office. Now, it was COVID there initially that she was holding over their heads.
I remember if
y'all don't act right, we're not going to have Mardi Gras this year. And I think they did pull Mardi Gras one of those years. I can't remember why exactly. No, so the year of the pandemic, Mardi Gras was earlier.
Right.
So we all got in our Mardi Gras.
Next year, nobody got it in.
Next year, no one got it in.
Yeah.
But she was holding it over their heads.
Yeah.
And then she's doing it again now, but had to walk back a statement she made. On Friday, she had to walk it back. This time, she said there may be no Mardi Gras because they don't have enough police to patrol the streets of New Orleans. So if their homeless problem's out of hand, like Susie was pointing out, well, their policing problem, they just don't have enough. She said if we don't have adequate police, it could mean that there will be no Mardi Gras, and that's a fact. If our officers cannot be safe, then there's no way that our city will be safe.
How far down are we police-wise? 60 or something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
Imagine New Orleans.
We haven't talked about Mardi Gras and the police situation there yet.
No.
For Mobile.
No.
So on Friday, Cantrell had to come back out. We are not canceling Mardi Gras. And she cited a nationwide shortage of public safety staff that's causing concern among city staff. So people were, of course, up in arms when she said Thursday that they might not have enough police to have Mardi Gras. And that's entirely a situation that she probably played a hand in. I mean, she was right there among the defund the police people the whole way through, as far as I can remember. And now she's saying, oh, we might not have enough police. This is a problem you created and helped create. And it's just been really weird to see the mayor of New Orleans continue to use Mardi Gras like she's bargaining with the people of the town, do what she wants or you won't get Mardi Gras. This time
what?
It's with police.
Now, look, y'all. The Saints are going to have to leave. We don't we don't have enough police to protect
Jameis.
Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
You know? So the Saints are going to have to leave. So we'll see. That's funny that it was a day later she came back and
adjusted
all that.
That's right.
Wow.
She had to come back quickly. Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show today, talks with Justin Bogey from the Alabama Policy Institute in the first hour. Second hour, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth He's been talking a lot about business incentives moving into the state as we continue to talk about this Topgolf thing. Third hour, Craig Monger with 1819 News and Dale Jackson, Jeff's best friend, WVNN, coming on at 1130.
Like the movie Step Brothers, is that the name of the movie with Will Ferrell?
Yeah, that's, they're one like, of the Will Ferrell
those,
movies.
Those two, yeah. 859.